USA, streaming live from our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi, also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer today is going to be a supplication taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, the soul to the glorious Queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's a joy to be here, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we truly are blessed to be alive at this time. And we mean that. And I think we're recognizing that each and every day that passes. As evil seems to be growing in momentum, God's grace is just combating every single turn of it. And again, our blessed Lord tells Louisa in the volumes in the Book of Heaven that evil will finally exhaust itself. It's like that yo-yo. Once you let the yo-yo go from your hand, there's no way to get the yo-yo back up until it fully extends. Even if you jerk your hand, it has to go down all the way. So we have to hit bottom. We have to look as if all has been lost. And then the resurgence will happen. It's going to happen. It's going to come through the gift of the divine will. I truly believe that. So again, this is a Thanksgiving program. And again, every day should be Thanksgiving. I want to introduce Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. How are you and everyone out there?
Mm-hmm. Everything is great. You know, Mother, I was thinking about, I don't have the exact quote, but I know I think it's volume 16, I think it's December 24th or 25th, when Jesus states that journeying in the divine will, every day is as if it's Christmas, or every day appears to be Christmas, because again, our blessed Lord's being given to us each and every day in a new and more fantastic way. And I think we can say the same, Mother and sisters, about Thanksgiving. I think every day is a day of Thanksgiving, not just once a year here in the United States, but every day. And again, when we mentioned about grateful to have awakened, we did nothing to wake ourselves up this morning. We did nothing while we were sleeping to beat our heart, flow our blood, and breathe our lungs. That was all taken care of by our blessed Lord through his most holy divine will. So we really ought to be grateful. And I think we, I know personally, I'm not grateful enough. And I think that's something if we can focus on today, I think I'd like to try to impress that on as many as we can, because we really need to be thankful.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible says, praise and thank God for all things work out for good for those who love God. So you praise and thank him for everything, the good and the bad, because he uses all the bad things that happen to us to help us grow in holiness. His justice is his mercy. His justice is his love, just as his mercy is his love. That, you know, when Louisa would be upset that he was chastising people, he says, but you don't understand. I love them so much that if I don't send my justice, they will lose their souls. And it's much more important. Their bodies are only here temporarily. The soul lives forever. So he would say, you know, I know that these things will help many souls that are happening to people, will help many souls to be saved. So his justice is his mercy and it is his love. So we should thank and praise him for his justice, just as we thank and praise him for his mercy, and be grateful for both, you know, and everything that our Lord allows to happen in our lives. Because if we really believe the scriptures, he brings a greater good out of everything that happens to us if we praise and thank him. And when we praise and thank him, even for the bad things, the devil flees because he doesn't want you to thank and praise God for what he's doing. So he leaves the scene and God can come in and give us peace and joy. But
I like that
the visual. Divine will is all about Thanksgiving, and he wants us to thank and praise him for all of his gifts. And the more you do that, the happier you become, so that the more you try to live in his divine will by doing acts and rounds in divine will, the happier you become. So the more it seems like Christmas every day.
Yeah. I think he also says, Mother, he says that he has to send those chastisements, unfortunately, to just to wake us up, because we're in this walking slumber of, you know, doing things the way we're used to doing them, or we're not even sure why we do them, but we just do them. And it's hard to go back when we're so focused on what we're doing today. How can we go back to tomorrow?
Yeah, well, you know, we shouldn't look at the past. The past is dead. Don't look at the future. It's not born yet. You may not have a future. And the past is over with. You have to trust in his mercy over the past. And when you trust in his mercy over the past, he forgets your past. He forgets it all. He only remembers the good things that you've done. So, you know, we should, you know, the past is dead. The future is unborn. We only have the present moment. We should live in the present moment and be grateful for this moment. If we're not grateful for this moment, we lose the moment. We lose this moment that we could make better by focusing on what's happening now rather than worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow and thinking about what happened wrong in the past, you know.
Right. You know, forgetting the past also, Mother, you mentioned that, you know, and God is giving us, you know, all the proof of his intention to do that. And he has done that. Look at the Feast of Divine Mercy, which has given us the greatest of forgiveness. But yet, even after that devotion, with all its greatness and all its majesty, now the kingdom of the divine will comes, which is even greater than that, on a perennial and a perpetual basis. So again, it's almost like God keeps outdoing God. He keeps showing us his majesty, yeah, again, after he wakes us up to say, here I am. Trust me. Believe in me.
Well, you know, and we look at Judas. Judas could have been one of the greatest apostles. He could have been one of the greatest saints because he was sorry for his sin, but he didn't trust in God's mercy. He thought his sin was his pride. Made him think his sin was greater than God's mercy. So he killed himself. And people say, well, Judas was saved. Well, I don't know. But you know, the Bible's, our Lord said in the scriptures, it had been better that this man never been born. So if it was better that this man had never been born, that means his soul was lost. Why was his soul lost? Because he did not thank God for his mercy. He did not appreciate God's mercy. And he focused on his own sin, you know. So we have to realize when we go to confession that we're sorry, God forgives us. You don't have to keep lamenting over it. Don't keep hashing over it. Let it go. Let it go, because God is letting it go. He wants us to let it go just as he is letting it go.
Yeah. A lot of times we just have to learn to forgive ourselves. And one thing that brings me a lot of comfort, I remember a line that Jesus told Saint Faustina that I had read in her diary that he says, when you trust in my mercy, after you've sinned, when you trust in my mercy, I give you more grace than I would have given you had you not fallen. And to me, that's just incredible. Like, not that we want to go out and fall just so we can get more grace. That's, you know, that's not what the Lord's saying, but that's just how great he is. Even from our weaknesses and our faults and our sinfulness, if we just trust in his mercy, he's going to bring out an even greater good than if we hadn't been weak and if we hadn't fallen. And I think we just have to hold on to that. And just one other thing that always sticks in my head too. I think it was Father Michael Gately wrote in one of his books. He's the one that does those 33-day consecrations to Morning Glory, to Merciful Love. And he had said, the thing that consoles the heart of Jesus most is our trust. So that's just something to kind of chew on when we're falling into discouragement or when we're falling into the temptation of not believing in God's mercy. He wants nothing more than for us to just trust in his mercy.
I'm sorry, Mother. You know, and giving more, when you mentioned that, sister, about, you know, God gives us more after we fall. Think about parents too. You know, a mother or father watches a child begin to walk very carefully, but then the child falls. What happens? Now the intensity of watching that child walk now is even greater. It's even more careful, even more discerning again than it was in the beginning. Not that it lacked anything, but now it's been stepped up a bit. And I think the same is with God, what he's doing in each and every one of us, Mother.
God doesn't want us to fall, but he allows us to fall. And he loves us so much, he brings a greater good out of our falls. We grow in humility, when we especially if we thank and praise God that he allowed us to fall so we could learn a lesson, so we could learn to grow in humility and realize our nothingness.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of, when you're talking about parenting, what parent doesn't want to be needed by their child? And a lot of times when we're sailing along and we think we're doing great, we don't realize how much we need God, and we'd start to do it on our own. But when he starts to allow us to feel our weaknesses, and when we start to fall, that's when we realize we really are totally dependent on the Lord and his providence and in his mercy.
Man.
It's just like parents who have, you know, children that maybe one of them is wayward. One of them is maybe on drugs or not going to mass on Sunday, or something's wrong with one child. The parents focus on that child more than any other. They love all their children, but they want this to turn around, this one to change, and they do all they can and pray for him, hopefully that he'll change. Jesus goes after the lost sheep. You'll leave the 99 to go after the lost sheep. So if you're a lost sheep out there, he loves you very much, and he wants to bring you back into the fold. So, you know, don't be afraid. God is a loving father. He over and over talked to Saint Faustina and to Louisa about his mercy, that we must trust in his love and his mercy. And that gives him great, great glory and honor when we honor him by trusting in his mercy.
Yeah. And it actually, when we do that, we fall less. You know, when we rest in God's love and in his forgiveness, we're less tempted to fall into sin. You know, we move along easier. And I was just reminded of another line that I heard from Father Mike Schmitz. He says, beating ourselves up never glorifies God. So if we want to glorify God, we can't beat ourselves up. And I know from personal experience, because I've done that a whole lot in my life, and I've fallen into a lot of discouragement, it never helps me improve. You know, it never helps me move forward. It never helps me stop offending God. It usually ends up doing the opposite. So it's really very cost effective to trust in God's mercy and just rest in his love.
Great advice. Great advice, sister.
We can look at a little child that the parents forgive him for what he's done wrong. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, and thank you for forgiving me, and gives a big hug to his mom or his dad. How that thrills their heart. Or a child that says, I don't think you can forgive me. He goes in the corner and he hides, thinking that he can never be forgiven. How do the parents feel? You know, they feel much better over the child that accepted the fact that he had fallen, that his parents forgave him, and that he's forgiven. And he just picks himself up and he goes on and he's happy again. That thrills the parent, you know, not the child that won't forgive himself. And like you said, you know, we have to forgive ourselves first. God forgives us, but we don't want to forgive ourselves. That's our pride. We think that our sin is too great, like Judas. Our sin is bigger than his mercy. His mercy is much bigger than any sin. The little flower she became so holy because she felt so sure that no matter what, and even if she committed all the sins that were ever committed, that God would welcome her with open arms if she was sorry and he would forgive her. She knew that he had that kind of love for her, and she trusted totally in his mercy. That's what made the little flower such a great saint. So
we can emulate that as well. And that goes for all the saints, you know, Mother, that have gone before us. You know, God tells Louisa that the reason why this gift wasn't given earlier is because God had to have everything in place. He had to give us an arsenal of assistance to go to so that we wouldn't fall again like Adam. And he said he wouldn't bring this gift to the world until that was in place. And he said it is. It's ready to go. Otherwise, Louisa would not have been given it in its totality. And of course, that become available to each and every one of us.
Now, you know, next week we celebrate Thanksgiving here in Italy. It's not next week. I think they have their own another day of Thanksgiving, but you know, the States, it's then we celebrate it here too, next Thursday. But you know, throughout the volumes, our Lord told Louisa, he wanted her to put her "I love you" on everything. "I love you, I adore you, I praise you, and I thank you" on everything he created, because he said everything is a gift to us. Every breath of air we breathe is a gift from God. Do we say thank you, God? Do we put our "I love you, I thank you" on that breath of air? On every breath of air that you breathe from the moment you were born, you know, from every heartbeat that your heart was beating since the time of your conception. Do we put our "I love you" on "I thank you" on each one of those heartbeats, not only ours, but all other souls, all other people who have lived, on every bird, every flower, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every grain of dirt, all the fish in the sea, all the things out in the atmosphere. We have to name all these things and say, "I thank you, I praise you, I adore you, I love you, I give you glory for all these gifts you have given me." And he does those things in us. He's glorifying his Father in us by putting his "I love you" on all these things that we want, because we can't do anything. So when we say, "Jesus, you come and put these "I love yous," that's what we're actually saying. You put an "I love you" from me on all of these things, and they become divine "I love yous," so which will shout out to the eternal Father for all eternity. "I love you, God. I love you, God," forever and ever and ever. Never come to an end, because Jesus put it on there for you. We're helpless. We're like little babies. We can't do anything for ourselves, but we have the desire. And he takes our desire and he does it for us. So we just have to desire to do these things. And that's how you're going to grow in living in the divine will, so that every day will be Christmas for you.
Amen. The mother just explained also, she defined what making a round is, which is giving glory and honor to God on the level of God, due to God through all of creation, which was created for our enjoyment, remind us of that.
Yeah, we have the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, and rounds of sanctification. The rounds of creation is we put our "I love you, I thank you" on all the things that you can think of that he created. Every atom, every proton, everything. You know, you can name bunches of things. You never run out of things to thank him for.
Not sure.
And then you go to redemption, all the acts that he did to redeem us. His crucifixion, all that he suffered, his hidden life, all the things that happened in his life. We don't know everything that happened in his hidden life, except that he told Louisa that he really lived each one of our lives for us during his hidden life. So we put our "I love yous" and "I thank you" on all of that. Then sanctification, all that the Holy Spirit does, all the sacraments, confirmation, baptism, matrimony, ordination, all these sacraments, all the graces God gives to each person. You know, put our "I love yous" on all those graces. We don't know what all those graces are, but we can say, I put my "I love you" on every grace that has come to each soul throughout from the beginning of time until the end of time. I want to do it that Our Lady is giving, because Our Lady's mediatrix of all graces. She's mediatrix and co-redemptrix. We really believe that. And so we can take all of those things and put our "I love you" on it. And you, as long as you believe it happens, you have faith like a mustard seed. You believe what our Lord told Louisa in these books. It happens just as you desire them to happen.
Amen.
Yes, I have a perfect passage that goes along with Mother just said. And before Mother and Sister, they were talking about God's mercy and his love. And today we had a confession with Indian priest. And it was really beautiful, and that I really experienced God's mercy and his love. You know, before, like truly confession is his God's gift for us to truly like purify our souls and bring us closer to God. So I think it's really important to go to confession as often as possible because it's God's gift for us. So the passage that I want to share is it's from volume 17. I love you is everything. So here, Luisa, she was like questioning Jesus, what's the use of telling I love you and that I could be maybe doing something else. And here Jesus said, what are you saying? How special is for me that I love you directed to me, my daughter, that I love you is everything. I love you is love. It is veneration. It is esteem. It is heroism. It is sacrifice. It is trust toward the one to whom it is directed. The I love you is to possess the one who encloses the I love you. The I love you is a little word, but it weighs as much as eternity. The I love you encloses everything, involves everything. It fuses itself. It restricts itself. It rises up high. It descends down to the bottom. It impresses itself everywhere. And it never stops. What, my daughter, how special can your I love you really be? Its origin is eternal. In the I love you, the celestial Father generated me. And in the I love you, the Holy Spirit proceeded. In the I love you, the eternal fiat made the whole creation. And in the I love you, it forgave guilty man and redeemed him. Therefore, in the I love you, the soul finds everything in God. And God finds everything in the soul. This is why the value of the I love you is infinite. It is full of life and of energy. It never tires. It surpasses everything and triumphs over everything. And so this I love you directed to me, I want to see it and hear it on your lips, in your heart, in the flying of your thoughts, in the drops of your blood, in the pains and in the joys, in the food you take, in everything. The life of my I love you must be long, long within you, and my fiat which reigns in you will place on it the seal of the divine I love you. So like mother said before, we just got to have truly a faith, which is as small as mustard seed. And we got to believe that God will do it in us as long as we have the will to do it, because God wants it more than we do. And by doing, by thanking and praising God, it's going to bring us more happiness and it will make us feel more grateful. It's going to fill us with more joy as well. In God's mercy and his love, it's more than we can imagine. And truly, we are the one who judges and condemns them harshly. So we got to trust in God's mercy, his love. And in every little thing, we got to remember that his love, that everything comes from his love, and to give him back our I love yous.
Yes, so I think, you know, what Sister just said, we just have to continually do that, get in the habit of doing it, be appreciative for everything he gives us. Always appreciate, always thank him, and you're going to be one of the happiest people around. Because I think what makes people unhappy is negative thinking, looking at the dark side of everything rather than the bright side of everything. And if you look at the bright side of everything, you'll be happy and your life will be clear sailing. You know, you have joy in your heart and you give joy to everyone around you. People will laugh with you, but they don't want to cry with you so much. And if you've lost a loved one, yes, they'll cry with you. But I mean, you know, a person's always upset. People kind of stay away from those people because they're looking for joy. Everybody wants joy. You know, everybody wants happiness and peace. That's what we're looking for. And as we live more in his divine will, we become those kind of people, joyful people, people who truly love, because you're loving everyone with God's love, not your own love. It's his love coming through you to everyone that you meet, and they feel that, and you feel it. You feel more love for people that you don't even know, as if they're part of your family for years, you know. And
yeah. You know, mother, it comes down to, and sisters, it comes down to, you know, We know this. We read the words of Jesus. We read the words of our Blessed Mother. It comes down to, do we believe this? Do we really believe this to be true? Because if we believe this to be true, end of discussion. We should all go to our rooms right now and just immerse ourselves in prayer. But we don't all believe it. In fact, we all have slight reservations at times. I think that's part of our human nature. But God keeps squashing those little bit of flare-ups, those little bit of flames untrustingness, I guess you want to say. And again, we have to purge that. And it's a slow process, but I think God's working in us. You know, this is everything. He tells us this is the prodigy of prodigies, the gift of gifts. In fact, in the biography of Luisa, published by the Vatican, called The Son of My Will, published by the Vatican Publishing Company in 2015, in the conclusion area on page 220, it says, quote, "This is what clearly appears. This living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that he wants to give to people," end quote. Do you think the Vatican's going to publish something that's not true? It's not. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. God and our Blessed Mother and Luisa have given us everything. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side, finally.
I'm free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. That was Christina Lenway on finally the song, beautiful song that is so appropriately, I think, used for this beautiful program on Radio Maria. You know, we're in a Thanksgiving mode, and we should actually be in that mode every single day, but unfortunately, our human will sometimes overpowers us. Want to spend a moment here and read a bit from Luisa's writings and from our Blessed Lord and Our Lady, which they've given us everything. It goes like this. Luisa, we thank you for your miraculous intercessions, and we continue to invoke your continued intercession before the throne of God for lasting peace throughout the world. Blessed Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. It is you alone, united with our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Peace, who can bring true peace to the world. In your great love for the little daughter of the divine will, the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, you gave her the power over your Sacred Heart to draw you to herself and to do what she wants. That's found in Volume 2, August 21st, 1899. It is Luisa in whose power is the holy will of God. That's found in Volume 6, July 14th, 1904. You said, ask and we shall receive. And that if two of you join your voices on earth to pray for anything, whatever, it shall be granted you by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. We glorify you and we thank you. We now incessantly for your great love and your great mercy in your holy name, together with our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, and under the titles that you'd bestowed on her, and our little Mama Luisa for the miraculous answers to our prayers. And we continue to implore you, and through their continued intercession, may we obtain your lasting peace to the world. Amen. Again, in a theme of Thanksgiving, couldn't think of a better way to open up the second half with that Thanksgiving. Mother, sisters.
Yes, I was just reading in Volume 20. This is December 15th, 1926. Luisa was just saying, you know, what good do I do? She was talking about all these acts and rounds she's doing in divine will. What glory do I give to this adorable fiat by going through all created things as though in review to place in them even just one little I love you of mine? Who knows whether this might not be a waste of time that I do? And, you know, when I first started reading the divine will, and I thought, this is too good to be true. Can this really be happening? What our Lord says happens when I do an act or around in divine will, that it's actually Jesus in me doing it. And that he does divine acts. So he's using me to do his divine acts and giving his Father all the honor and glory that he deserves and that he should have gotten had Adam and Eve not fallen, but he will get in the end because Jesus redid every person's life to perfection. So in the end, it will be as if Adam and Eve had never fallen. In the end, in all eternity, at the end of the world, when everything is done and over with, it'll be like God, everyone had lived a life of perfection. That's the kind of glory the Father will get. So our Lord goes on to tell her, he says, now, while I was thinking, she says, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, what are you saying? With my will, one never wastes time. On the contrary, by following it, one gains the eternal time. Now you must know that each created thing contains a delight, one distinct from the other. And these delights were placed by us and were to serve us to delight ourselves and the creature. Now in each created thing runs our love. And as you go through them, you make the little note of your love run. Don't you want then, in the face of so much love of ours, to place your little notes, your dots, your commas, your little strings that say love, and harmonizing with our love, form the delight wanted by us for ourselves and for you? Only when there is company, then is a delight enjoyed more. Isolation makes the enjoyment die. So the company you give us by going around in the creation makes us remember of our many delights that were placed by us in each created thing. It makes us live through our enjoyments again. And while you delight us, we delight you. And besides, perhaps you too want to leave our will isolated. No, It is befitting for the little daughter never to leave her mother alone and to remain always on her knees to follow her in all her acts. So as we put our I love yous and we delight in all that he gives us, all of his gifts, he delighted so much in creating all these things for mankind that we let him go back and experience that delight that he delighted in from the very beginning. Then after this, my poor mind was swimming in the immense sea of the eternal fiat. And my lovable Jesus added, my daughter, among the many qualities and properties that my will contains, it contains an act of beatitude that is never interrupted. And as many acts as the soul does in it, so many distinct acts of beatitude does she take into her soul. So the more acts she does in this fiat, the more she becomes the owner and forms a greater capital of these beatitudes within herself that give her highest peace on earth. And in heaven, she will feel all the effects and the enjoyments of these beatitudes that have formed within her. See, it is as though natural. While you are on earth, my will in heaven releases from itself an act ever new of infinite beatitude. Now, who takes this new act that never ceases? The saints, the angels, who live in divine will in heaven. All the souls in purgatory and all the souls in heaven are living in God's divine will. They're existing in God's divine will. However, it is not fair that one who is in the exile and lives in my will lose all these acts of beatitude. Rather, with justice, they are placed as though in reserve within her soul, so that when she departs for her celestial fatherland, she may enjoy all them all together to catch up with others in receiving that new act of beatitude that is never interrupted. So you're not going to see right now, as you do these acts and rounds, you don't see what's happening in your soul. You don't see what God is giving you for all eternity in heaven. All you know that little by little, as you do this, you're being transformed. You're practicing virtue more. Things become easier for you. I'm not saying that things are never difficult, but the cross, you begin to appreciate the cross more. All these things, you're being transformed. That's the only thing that you see that's different. You may have more joy. Like you said at the beginning of this program, Peter, it's a Christmas every day for you. As you live more and more this way, it becomes Christmas more and more every day for you, because even your cross has become joys for you. Louisa suffered a lot, but she suffered with great joy. She longed for the cross because she knew the value of the cross. If we knew the value of the cross, we'd long for it too. We don't know that. But you know, they say if the souls in purgatory could come back on earth to do anything, it would be that they would want to come back and suffer, carry the cross more, because they realize now in eternity, the value of the cross. Also the saints in heaven, if they would want to come back to do anything, it would only be for that reason. He says, do you see then what it means to do one more act? Or one act less in my will? It is to have as many more acts of beatitude for as many more times as one has done my will, and to lose them for as many times as she has not done her own, as many times as she has done her own. And she takes not only many acts of beatitude, many acts of sanctity, of divine signs, many distinct acts of beauty, of love, for as many times as she has done my will. And if she has been always in my eternal fiat, she will have within herself the sanctity that resembles her creator. Oh, how beautiful she will be. In heaven, the echo of our beatitudes, the echo of our sanctity, the echo of our love will be heard in this fortunate creature. In sum, she has been our echo on earth, and she will be our echo in the celestial fatherland. Of course, you know, there's great promises that comes to all of us as we live in his will, what will happen in the future. But we want to have the right reason, the right motive for trying to live in his divine will. The motive has to be not for ourselves, not to give ourselves glory in the end for all eternity, but to give God the honor and glory. And we have to pray for the right motive. Pray that you want the right motive to do these, to live in his divine will for the right reason, to glorify and honor God for all eternity. We want that kind of love for him, that we love him so much. We just want to make him happy. We want to please God. We want to give God the honor and glory he deserves, you know. And as we do that, because you know, the Baltimore Catechism. When I was a little girl, I had the Baltimore Catechism. It tells you how old I am, you know. But one of the questions was, why did God make us? God made us. The answer was to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next. So as you know, love, and serve him, as you try to live in his divine will here in this life, you're going to be happier here and happier for all eternity.
Yeah, that upright intention, Mother, is so important, because you touched on one of the four requisites really to receive this gift that Jesus articulates. He says we must ask for this gift. We must desire this with an ardent desire. We must be in a state of grace, of course, and we must have an upright intention. We must want this for God first and for all of humanity before ourselves. But again, knowing that we're included in all of humanity, which is a pretty good thing. Sister?
Okay. What Mother just said reminded me of a passage I read today, which said we're called to be happy, reasonably happy in this life and in the next. And the passage I read today was from volume 11, November 15th, 1916. And basically Jesus is telling Louisa how the soul forms her paradise on earth. And I just thought it was so beautiful, because to me, it was a perfect example of how little we really need to do and how God always, always outdoes us in generosity. I was lamenting to my sweet Jesus that he no longer loved me as before. So anybody who ever has those thoughts, you're not alone. Louisa was there too, so don't feel bad. And he, all goodness, told me, my daughter, not loving one who loves me is impossible for me. Rather, I feel so drawn toward her that at the littlest act of love she does for me, I respond with triple love, and I place a divine vein in her heart, which administers to her divine science, divine sanctity, and virtue. And the more the soul loves me, the more this divine vein rises, and watering all the powers of the soul, it diffuses for the good of the other creatures. I have placed this vein in you, and when you lack my presence and do not hear my voice, this vein will make up for everything and will be voice for you and for the other creatures. Another day, I was fusing all of myself as usual in the will of Blessed Jesus, and he said to me, my daughter, the more you fuse yourself in me, the more I fuse myself in you. So it is on earth that the soul forms her paradise. According to how much she fills herself with holy thoughts, with holy affections, desires, words, works, and steps, so does she keep forming her paradise. To one more holy thought or word, one more contentment will correspond, and many varieties of beauty, of contentments, of glory, for as much more good as she has done. What will the surprise of this soul be when, once the prison of her body is broken, immediately she will find herself in the sea of as many pleasures and happinesses, as much light and beauty, for as much more good as she has done, be it even a thought. It reminds me of something Sister Maureen once told me. She said, in the divine economy, not one penny is wasted. You know, a lot of times we have this false belief that we have to jump through all these hoops to please God, but it takes so little to please him. He just wants our love. He just wants our desires, our thoughts, us to give every little act that we do throughout the day with him, because he wants to be with us in those acts, and he wants us to be with him in his acts. So this is just a good reminder for me that it doesn't take much. It takes very little. And the very little that we're capable of offering the Lord, he just multiplies it so much and does so much with it, not only for us, but for his glory and for other creatures as well.
Yeah, one little thought of God tickles him pink. He loves us so much. One little thought we have of him makes him so excited. That's what kind of love he has. If we knew how much he loves us, we would die of joy. We couldn't take it. So he doesn't let us see in this life, just how much he loves us.
So I came across a passage today. It was, it's actually considering it's one of the shortest passages that I see in the volumes. It's from volume 7, November 18th, 1906. But I was thinking, you know, Thanksgiving, one of the main aspects about Thanksgiving is the food. So it was funny how our Lord used a comparison with food, with something that we speak a lot about in the divine will, is works without interior spirit and the intention that we have behind each act that we do. So I was thinking that, you know, that this was a good thing to talk about. It says here that Louisa writes, As I was in my usual state, I saw only a shadow of blessed Jesus, and he told me only, my daughter, if a food could be separated from its substance and someone ate it, it would be of no use, or rather it would serve to bloat his stomach. Such are the works without interior spirit and without upright intention. Being emptied of divine substance, they are of no use and serve only to bloat the person. Therefore, he receives more harm than good. And that goes to show with so many aspects of life. We watched recently a movie on St. Martin de Porres. It's in Spanish with English subtitles, but it's a very nice movie. And one of the lines that St. Martin de Porres did is that what he said was like insults, like compliments, like will pass away, like they're nothing, they're considered like nothing. And it just made me think of that, like, you know, like he receives more harm than good. And Jesus says, serve only to bloat the person. If you think about it, that's what happens with self. We become self-absorbed. We only think of ourselves, or as Mother would say, the earthly trinity, me, myself, and I. And there's no room for God. And then many times Jesus writes in, tells them, Luis in the volumes, minds full of earth with no thought for me. And does a thing without upright intention, being emptied of divine substance. Because whenever we don't do something for the glory of God, when we don't do it for the love of God, we lack. We're also not striving to ask Jesus to come and do it in our acts, to do it in the divine will. Therefore, it's not going to last for eternity. It's like our bodies, you know, it would be like nothing, like no memory, no nothing. So I just thought that this was such a good passage to remind us the importance of what our intention is, how we should be aware and try to constantly think about God in every waking moment that we have.
I think too, in Thanksgiving, you know, you can enjoy a good turkey meal, all the desserts, the pumpkin pie, everything, and you could become a prayer because you say, Jesus, come enjoy this food in me. Come and eat this food in me. So everything becomes a prayer, even the enjoyments, the entertainments, the good things we do, we invite him to come into those things. And so you can be enjoying a good ice cream cone and say, Jesus, come and eat this ice cream cone in me. And, you know, you're going to be doing a divine, letting him do a divine act in you. So unless you're eating too much ice cream, he won't do it in you. But, you know, we're not gluttonous. If we just enjoy Thanksgiving dinner and eat as much as we should be eating, but not more, Jesus will come and do all of that within us. And Thanksgiving dinner will be all divine acts for you. Sister, we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. I don't know how much time I have left, but I just came back from adoration and I just would like to read a passage here. And I heard partly what Mother said about Thanksgiving and how we can multiply that and make it into divine. And so it's kind of like the same thread here. I read August 10, 1904. And I'll read this passage. As I was in my usual state, I found myself wandering around churches, making a pilgrimage to Jesus in the sacrament together with my guardian angel. In one of the churches, I said, prisoner of love, you are here abandoned and alone, and I have come to keep you company. And while keeping you company, I intend to love you for those who offend you, praise you for those who despise you, thank you for those in whom you pour graces, but do not render you the tribute of thanksgiving. Wow, this is the word. Console you for those who afflict you and repair for any offense against you. So I guess the thanksgiving important is that when we eat our Thanksgiving meal, don't forget to thank God. And it multiplies because how many people are eating Thanksgiving meal without even saying thank you? And I'll continue here. In a word, I intend to do for you all the creatures are obliged to do for you for having remained in the most holy sacrament. And I intend to repeat this for as many drops of water, for as many fish and grains of sand as are in the sea. While I was saying this, all of the waters of the sea became present before my mind. And I said within myself, my sight cannot grasp the whole vastness of the sea, nor does it know the depths of weight and the weight of those immense waters. But the Lord knows their number, weight, and measure. And I stay there, all marveling. At that moment, Blessed Jesus told me, silly, silly that you are. Why do you marvel so much? what is difficult and impossible for the creature is easy and possible and also natural for the creator. It happens in this as to someone who, looking millions and millions of coins in the twinkling of an eye, says to himself, they are innumerable. Who can count them? But the one who put them in that place tells everything in one word. They are this many. They are worth this much. They weigh this much. My daughter, I know how many drops of water I myself put in the sea, and no one can disperse even a single one of them. I numbered everything. I weighed everything. I evaluated everything. And so with all the other things, so that it is the wonder. So what is the wonder if I know everything? On hearing this, every marvel ceased. Or rather, I marveled at my silliness. Okay, I'll summarize this one. This passage really struck me too, because you know, we think about Thanksgiving meal, but how often do we say Thanksgiving, that the most important Thanksgiving meal is the Eucharist? Because the meaning of the Eucharist, adoration, you know, we go to Adoration Chapel, we adore the Lord in the Eucharist and receive him every Mass. That is the holy meal. And Eucharist literally means Thanksgiving. It is the praise of thanksgiving that the Lord offered to the Father. So basically the thanksgiving of thanksgivings is the Holy Eucharist, and putting our divine, I love you, adore you, I glorify you, multiply that. And also another thing that also I was amazed at this is that how often do I go to God? I love you, I adore you in the sea. I love you, I adore you in the ocean. And I don't always remember how many drops of water are there in the ocean. And you see, when I think about this, when we do our I love you to God, it's not that we add glory to God. I remember Scott Hahn mentioned that we can never add glory to God nor diminish it. When we say I love you to God a million times, a billion times, or multiple infinite times, it is because I have to know it myself. So when I say I love you, grain of the sand, every atom, I'm only reminding myself that this is how much love God has for us, for all of us, infinite love.
Yeah, you can't thank God too much. It's just like we can't love Our Lady too much. Jesus loves her more than anyone could ever love her. We can't thank God too much. You know, we need to be more grateful. It's like you said, you know, we could be even eating Thanksgiving dinner, which is supposed to be a celebration to thank God for all of the gifts he gives us. A lot of people just enjoy the meal and not even think of thanking God. You know, it's become sometimes commercial rather than, you know, spiritual. And so we have to really make it a spiritual happening, you know, something for families to get together, to enjoy each other. Yes. See Jesus in each other at the Thanksgiving meal. Thank and praise God for everything, and pray together on the Thanksgiving day. I think that's how you can make Thanksgiving Day a holy day, a day set aside mainly for thanking God for everything.
Yeah, Sister Magdalena mentioned about, you know, the Eucharist being, you know, really the greatest Thanksgiving we should give, because Jesus explains. He explains in Volume 14, September 11th, 1922, that the sacraments, the church, everything that God has given up to this point has had as its primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. He says, this was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way with all to let man reach the possession of my divine will. So it is the greatest Thanksgiving, the Eucharist. And remember, the Eucharist was, again, an introduction of the divine will. And now God wants to give us the divine will on a perennial basis. So you're right, sister. The greatest Thanksgiving ever should be, and would be, and could be, to give God thanksgiving for what he's done, never giving up on us and giving us an opportunity to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by him. The prelapsarian error of Adam. There is no greater gift. And that's why Jesus explains it that way. And again, like Mother said in the beginning, it's hard sometimes to imagine, to fathom this. You know, God is giving us an opportunity to swim in the realm of his mystical life, which we cannot understand. We don't have the comprehension ability, but through the language of heaven, through the infusion, through the contemplative prayer that God may or may not grace us with, he's going to give us an understanding that we need. But we do understand one thing. It's a time of thanksgiving every moment, every day of every year. Mother, closing thought, we have another minute.
Well, you know, Louisa never was able, she wasn't able to really eat. She didn't have Thanksgiving dinner, you know. She lived on the Eucharist, and so the Eucharist was everything to her, you know, that she didn't miss food. You know, how she was so filled with God, you know, and living in his will totally. Food wasn't important to her. Now, Our Lady, on the other hand, partook of food. She ate. She lived totally in the divine will. She was always, you know, in divine will from her conception. Louisa was conceived in with original sin, but, you know, she was born. She was born with original sin, like all of us, but received the gift later on. So we can go back into that. Our Lord is calling us to go back into what he had given Our Lady, and we're coming Amen. Back to that by living in his divine will.
Amen. Well, our time is up, unfortunately, but thanks be to God. For more information about the sisters, you can visit Benedictines of Divine Will.org. And for more on the Divine Will, you may visit our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive. We thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for Radio Maria, and we thank God for everything that we have. May God bless each and every one of you. Bye-bye. Bye.